Well, I don't know if Richard has done a survey of the group tonight to find out if you're really tired or not, but if the lights fail, you keep listening and I'll keep preaching. How is that? As Paul comes to the close of his instructions and encouragement to the churches of Galatia, he addresses his brethren singularly in the sixth chapter. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Frequently, we fail, it seems, to get the benefit from the Word of God that we should get. I guess because, first of all, we fail to make application to ourselves. But you know, frequently when people read the Scriptures, and I'm not at all sure that this applies to this fine group, but frequently when people read passages of Scripture, the thought comes to their mind, now how can that be? How is it possible that these instructions are to be applied to my life? Because in one sense of the word, they just sound contradictory. And so it is, as we look at the passage before us, that we notice in verse 2, here is an admonition, bear one another's burdens. But as we come to verse 5, we're told that each one will bear his own load, or as our King James translation says, will bear his own burden. How can that be, that we are to bear one another's burdens, and then every man will bear his own burden? Well, very probably this is not a puzzle to you, and if we were in private discussion, you would say, "Why, Brother Gene, don't you know that both of those things are so? We have a responsibility toward one another, but that does not alleviate, that does not do away with the personal responsibility that we have toward the Lord ourselves. So it's important that we recognize where our responsibilities lie. If we are going to divide them up in this way, we're going to say, well, I do have a responsibility for myself. I must answer for myself. But on the other hand, God has so bidden that I also have a responsibility toward others. And this is such an important thing, first of all, so that we will not become discouraged, so that our relationships with each other is as they ought to be, and second of all, so that we will not fail in our duty. Well, I'd like for us, especially since we have these things in order, to go ahead and to consider each relative to burden bearing, to bearing burdens. Well, the first thing that we are told is that we are not alone. I don't know whether you could even picture such a situation, but you know, there are times when a Christian does find himself or herself all alone. There have been occasions when Christians have been in a foreign country, and as they look around, they may be asked, well, where are your brethren in Christ? And they say, oh, there isn't anyone. Do you know what a lonely feeling that is? A number of years ago, when we moved to the small city of Krugersdorp, west of Johannesburg, the real estate agent, Meneer van Asviefen, was showing us around town and showing us the available housing. But finally, his curiosity just got the best of him. And he said, well, who do you know? And we said, well, we know you. And of course, then we proceeded to the very best of our ability to introduce the gospel to that man. But so far as we knew, we indeed were the only Christians. Do you recognize what a wonderful blessing we have here at Courthouse? Who are we? Well, yes, as we examine the scriptures this morning, we can say, well, we are Christians. But we are more than that. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. In Philippians 4 and verse 3, Paul compliments those brothers and sisters and calls them fellow laborers, fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Isn't it a wonderful privilege to be able to recognize that you are not alone in this pursuit of being a Christian? Well, but that brings responsibilities. The fact that you are my brother, that you are my sister, means that I recognize I do not stand alone. And the instruction that Paul gives is that I would help, that I would help you bear your burdens. Have you ever thought you're the only one that has burdens? You say, oh, I have so many heavy things that are on me. But you know, if that is true concerning you, it is also true concerning other Christians. It is also true concerning your brothers and sisters. You're not the only one that has anxieties, that has fears, that have responsibilities to be carried out toward your family and toward others, and that has temptations. And so Paul says, brethren, if a man, even if a man, is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Well, there is the context. How very easy, but how very callous on our part when we see one who is overtaken in a trespass, instead of trying to lift them up, instead of trying to help them, we do the very opposite. And either through indifference, we ignore their plight, or else we push them down further. Ah, but the scripture is so clear. We find that instead, we are to do everything within our power to help them. I like the way James puts this, don't you? Over in the fifth chapter, the final chapter of James and the last two verses, he says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Oh, it's wonderful whenever we teach the gospel to a person for the very first time. But do you know it is equally wonderful whenever we are able to lift up a brother or a sister who has been overtaken in a trespass, to be able to turn them back to the truth? And as James observes, oh, we cover a multitude of sins and we save a soul from death. How great it is to have that blessed privilege. And so, without in any sense of the word trying to be a busybody or trying to meddle where we ought not, we are constantly, or we should be constantly aware of the spiritual needs of our brethren. Not only is it true that we are to help restore those that are overtaken in a trespass, here in verse 10 of this very same chapter, Galatians 6, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. But he says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I hope you have that kind of attitude toward your brothers and sisters, especially those of us who are here. What ought to be our attitude? I want to do good to my brethren. I want to do all the good that I can. And that means when they are in distress, that means when there is a physical need, well, whatever the need, it may just be saying a cheerful word. What all can we do that the Scriptures classify as good? Well, yes, where the one is in need of food or clothing or shelter or some kind of financial help, that is well and good. But oftentimes, just to be able to offer that cheerful word, we see one of our brothers or one of our sisters that is needing help. They're needing support. They're needing encouragement. Do you remember in our earlier study in the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, how frequently we are told that we are to encourage one another? In verse 12 and 13 of Hebrews 3, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You may say, well, you know, I do not have great talent. I will never give any kind of public address or sermon. I may not be called on to do anything in a public way. So does that mean that there is no work for me to do in the church? A cheerful smile. Do you get that smile fixed on your face before you come into the meeting house? I hope so. I hope none of you are old grumpy Sams, but that you are determined whenever you meet your brothers and sisters that it is going to be with that cheerful countenance, that it is going to be with the thought in mind, even if you say, I'm not feeling well today, but I want to greet them and I want to say encouraging words. Have you thought about the purpose of singing? Well, it is true that our songs of praise, that is worship. Always in this worship, in song, there is to be God that is addressed, singing His praises, singing the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know that we are also singing to one another? In Colossians 3 and in verse 16, we are told that there is this purpose in our being together. Let the word of Christ, I'm reading Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of the reasons why I should join just as wholeheartedly as I can in the singing of these songs is so that I will be able to teach and admonish my brothers and sisters in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, then there's one other thing that we can do in bearing one another's burdens, and that is in being a good example. Being a good example. Who is taught to be an example? Well, I know that elders have that responsibility. When and if we ever appoint elders in this congregation, we want them to be shining examples. And in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3, we are told that while the elders are not to lord it over the flock, they are to be examples. And so it is whenever we look to these fine men that will be appointed, we say, well, they are outstanding Christians. They are the ones, as we look at their lives, no matter what struggles they have had, no matter what problems, yet they continue to be these godly examples to us. Who else is to be an example? Well, young people. Young people are to be examples. I notice that one of the instructions that Paul gives to Timothy is right along that line, as he tells Timothy, let no man despise your youth. If you look at 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, I think you will find that instruction there. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Who else is to be an example? Every Christian. We notice that the young church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8, well, they were examples. They were examples not only to those that were nearby. Paul said that they were examples to the whole world concerning their faith. We cannot help but ask, as we read Galatians chapter 6, am I that kind of example? When my brothers and sisters look to me whenever they are downtrodden, are they able to look to me and by my very example, that good example, I am able to bear their burdens? Well, now then, that's just one part of the lesson, though, isn't it? Because now we notice in verse 5, he says, for each one shall bear his own burden. Each one shall bear his own load. But notice what he says before in verses 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, I've met people like that, haven't you? You say, who do you think you are? And they say, I'm the greatest. If anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is what? When he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. All right, how does this play out? Well, the way it plays out is that every Christian has an individual responsibility. When we think about the work of the church, every Christian has a responsibility. Oh, your responsibility may not be the same as the next person, but every one of us have a responsibility. The individual who is always separating themselves from the church in their thinking, and they say, well, the church is supposed to be doing this, and why aren't they doing a better job of it? Well, of course, what we need to do is to give ourselves a good shaking and to realize, oh no, it is my responsibility to invite others. It is my responsibility to arrive early. It is my responsibility to greet the visitors. It is my responsibility to visit the sick. It is my responsibility to study the Bible. It is my responsibility to be able to participate in class. And on it goes. And what it amounts to is that we must not think that we are something when in reality we are nothing. Picture yourself at the Day of Judgment. What if you are a member of a large congregation? Down in Tampa, I'm aware of the fact that some of those churches are approaching 500 people. I think Temple Terrace building will sit 700, maybe. That's an awful lot. That's an awful lot. But do you know, those Christians, as they stand before God at the judgment, they will not be able to say, God, look what a big congregation I've been a part of. Well, but let's turn this around. Suppose that you are a member of a congregation that just has 15 or 20. Scott sent us a photo through the email this morning. He and his family left early this morning, 7 hours before we were ever up, and they drove some 50 or 60 miles to the city of Pietermaritzburg. They met with the church there, and I think that congregation consists of probably four members. In a poor African community. Do you know that if you stand before God at the judgment and you're a part of a congregation where there are only three or four members, do you know what? That doesn't matter at all, because God is just going to be interested in you. He's really not going to ask you at the judgment, well, what work did the Courthouse Road Church take part in? He's not going to ask you, how strong a Christian was your husband? What did your children do? What about your parents? This old judgment is such a private, individual thing that we better just be on our best behavior all the time. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Can't make any excuses at that time, can you? You can't say to God, well, Lord, the reason why I didn't do better is because of somebody else. No, that won't work at all, will it? It won't work at all. God, who knows our heart, everyone will bear their own burden. What's going to be the standard? By what standard should we be measuring ourselves tonight? Oh, the same standard that we are offering to the world. The Word of Christ. The Word of God. Well, but what if I say, you know, I've looked around the congregation and I think I'm doing as good as any of them. Doing just as good as any of them. How good a standard is that? Evidently, there were some in the church at Corinth that was doing that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." It wasn't wise back then, and it isn't wise today for me to try to determine how much I'm going to give, how much I'm going to attend, how many people I'm going to try to teach, how much I'm going to grow spiritually. It's not very wise for me to measure myself with others. That's foolish. We will all stand before the judgment bar of God to give an answer by that infallible standard, the Word of God that is all truth. What should I do? Well, Peter tells me what to do. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bear one another's burdens, or every man shall bear his own load." Won't you stand as we sing?